Three, two. Hello and welcome to the Honest Politics Podcast. My name's Alex Gamsik and I'm the founder of Honest Politics LLC. It's a special episode today because I have my brother Andre on the podcast and we're gonna look at what he thinks about the issues of the day and just kind of getting to explore another perspective because I think everyone's opinions are worth evaluating, especially because we're all voters. We all govern this democracy together. So how's it going, Andre?
I'm doing good, thanks. And you?
Oh, pretty good. Yeah, especially because I get to talk to you here. It's currently dark outside. It's the dead of winter. People are hunkering down because of this virus. So how's it treating you?
Not feeling too much of an effect from it, but definitely people in terms of their personalities aren't the happiest. I'll say that much.
Yeah, it's a tough time for a lot of people, especially with so many people sick or nervous about getting sick. It's just a mess.
And then we definitely get a combination of those people as well, where they just really hate the mask or refuse to wear one, which I think is pretty moronic.
Yeah, I mean, we might not even dive into that conversation. And well, basically, just for a quick overview, it seems like most of the public health officials are telling people to wear masks. And then you have other states like North Dakota saying that we trust people to wear masks and we suggest it, but we don't mandate it. And then there's a group of people who say masks don't help or they could actually hurt people. So where do you fall in that spectrum from requiring people to wear masks for safety versus these conspiracy theories that they don't work?
I would definitely say with making masks mandatory anytime you're entering a building or just a confined space in general, when you're in your car by yourself or out taking a walk, not necessary to really wear one. But I totally agree with what's being done right now, where almost every store or commercial building is saying that you must wear a mask or you can't enter. And I agree with that policy because if you don't wear a mask, it's not just putting yourself at risk, you're going to put other people at risk as well.
And just for some context, don't tell me exactly where you live, but what state or county do you live in?
I live in Suffolk County, New York.
Okay, so you probably know that their mask requirements are a little more strict in, say, New York than they are in South Dakota, where cases are spiking like crazy right now.
I mean, I think it should be mandatory across the country because that's the only way you're really going to start slowing the progress of the virus as it spreads. I was just reading on Yahoo News, the amount of deaths on average per day has gone up 52% to about 1,000 Americans each day.
That's horrible.
That are dying from the virus. Yeah, it's really bad. So I definitely think across the country they should really enforce the mask policy.
Yeah, it's almost as if the virus doesn't care about state borders.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't even have a consciousness. It doesn't. No, you can't ask the virus, please don't infect me. The virus just no keeps going. No, the virus doesn't care. Virus doesn't care if you're rich, poor, white, black. You know, woman, man, nothing. It's if you don't protect yourself, it could very well be game over.
What do you think about, because there is like a philosophical argument where people say, I will wear a mask around town. I just have a problem with Andrew Cuomo or someone else telling me that I have to wear a mask because it limits my freedom. What do you think about that argument?
I think that is just people being spoiled isn't the word, but they don't know when to actually listen. They don't know when to acknowledge that they're wrong and that they should do what they're being told by a source that knows more than they do about the situation, typically. And with, I don't think politics should really be dragged into it. It's a case of like your wellness. It's not necessarily about this governor or the president or this or that. It's about doing what you need to do in order to help slow down and eventually wear out this virus.
Just to play devil's advocate, I actually agree with you, but do you trust people to wear masks without being told that they have to?
I would like to, but based on I'm a blue collar worker, and so what I've seen is that people automatically do have the mask on. I'd say it's about 75% they do, they already have it and they know it. And then the other 25%, they forget the mask, but then when they come into a building, they say, "Oh, let me go get my mask," without any problem. But then you get that small margin of people that do flip out when being told to wear a mask. Just because it's like a, it's kind of like a rebellious kid, like a teenager being told to do something they don't want to. But you're having full-grown adults doing this when it comes to actually, saving lives and protecting lives, including one's own.
You're asking people not just to be responsible for themselves, but for the well-being of everyone around them.
Right. And I'm sure these people who don't want to wear a mask would feel terrible if they did contract it. And then someone they know, a loved one, a family, a friend, got it as well because of them. I'm sure they would feel even more terrible and might get the message at that point.
I feel like that's another problem too. You can't really trace it all the time. It's like Aunt Amy, I'm just making up a name, got sick. We don't know if it was Uncle Joe who gave it to her or Cousin Rick or if it was someone at the grocery store or the movie theater. We don't know.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I read about coronavirus, and I think it's usually like in the first day or two that you have the virus. You don't necessarily show symptoms, but you are a carrier. So that makes it even more deadly in terms of how it spreads, because you could be spreading it and not even know it
Yeah, I'll
in the
share a
beginning.
few of the things that I've seen in multiple legitimate sources. The first is that almost half the people who get this virus don't know that they've ever gotten it. They are completely asymptomatic, but they are spreading it. And then another thing is that if I gave it to you, I hope I never do, but if I accidentally gave it to you, you might test negative for the virus for like 3 to 5 days before you actually develop symptoms and start spreading it yourself and test positive. So you could even get a negative COVID test like President Trump did and then later start spreading
Sneaky
it. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons this disease is so bad is because it's not like as soon as you catch it, there's a red dot above your head and everyone knows to stay away. It's people who don't know they're sick and don't think they're sick are the ones spreading it.
Yeah, and that's what makes it so tricky, and just in general.
Yeah, I think we've gotten through a lot of what you think on this subject. And when I have guest episodes, I like to try to dig into why people believe in what they believe. Political science shows that usually someone's family and upbringing is what influences them the most. So, do you maybe want to share a little bit about how you were brought up, like what kind of family life you had, and then maybe how that influenced your thoughts on people should be wearing masks? I do believe in science.
Well, in terms of upbringing, I know our parents, they definitely try to make it so we know to do what we're told when we're told to do it. And that kind of definitely helps go along with the modern issue. And I mean, growing up, I was probably more of the rebellious one. Yeah, I think it just does have to do with the upbringing, about being more obedient. That definitely helped in this spectrum. And then I think the people who refused to wear a mask were probably, either the parents, not that they didn't care, but their parents just had much more liberty in what their kid did. That's probably why they're not used to being told what to do.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend we didn't have the same parents. Sometimes I see kids running up and down the grocery store aisle screaming and the parent just walking calmly. And that's not the household we grew up in.
No, if we started running and screaming, we'd pay for it when we got home.
Or like at the store, she would make sure, our mom would make sure that we were at her side and being well behaved, which definitely had its benefits. Do you think it makes us more likely to listen to the government and other authority figures when they ask us to do things?
Absolutely. So it definitely kind of reinforces the same thing, like what's going to happen when it comes to the government and police and other authority figures, and knowing what could happen if you don't follow the instructions. So I wouldn't say it's fear that like would drive it. It's more about just being wise or just using common sense.
We became more well behaved, and it's easier to hold down jobs and stuff because we listen to our bosses and we have a sense of respect.
I mean, when it comes to doing blue collar work, there have been times where it's okay to question something when it's really unsafe or just a questionable decision in general that maybe a majority of people you work with don't agree with, and you can bring it up. But yeah, I mean, there could be things where, like, let's say you get pulled over and a cop starts giving you, I don't know, not giving you a hard time, but like you do have certain rights. Like it goes back full circle to like knowing when to do what you're told and when you actually have a legitimate argument or a case that you could debate with the authoritative figure. And then it comes back to knowing your rights. Like, for instance, you get pulled over, you don't have to answer the cop when he's asking you questions. You give him your insurance and your ID and, your registration. And then any questions he asks after that, you don't have to answer. Like, I think that's something people look over immediately because maybe they grew up in the same kind of situation you and I did, where you're used to just answering authority right away, which I think it does help, especially with the virus, But in other cases, you could be passing up opportunities where you do have a right to say or do something in response.
And I do want to put a disclaimer real quick. We're not giving legal advice, right?
No.
And no, I'm scared of being sued because I am paranoid. So we're not giving legal advice.
No, this isn't legal advice in any situation. It's just knowing
how you would approach the situation.
Right, right.
Yeah, we're just talking.
Yeah.
But no, that's exactly right. I mean, like, you can't unquestionably follow people, because then that can be just as dangerous as never following authority figures, right? Too, right?
Yeah. I mean, look at history, you know, bringing up like World War II, you know, the Nazis, they were so scared because if you didn't fight for them, they would kill you, or they would kill your family or something like that. I think a great deal of people involved in that war didn't want to be in it, didn't want to fight, but, you know, they were under authoritative figure and they didn't think anything of it. They were just doing what they were told.
And when it comes to masking, do you think you're level-headed enough to make that distinction between the amount of supposed harm that the mask does and the supposed benefits the mask has?
If the mask is only slightly uncomfortable, but it keeps me pretty safe from something that could straight up ice me, I would take a mask any day. It's like saying, would you rather look both ways before crossing the street, or would you rather just go out there and say YOLO? I mean,
I know, right?
Just like, I think that's what a lot of newer and newer generations don't have, which is common sense. But at the same time, you know, like the boomers and the Karens. And I think they're like, oh, we've been on this planet long enough where we don't have to do what we're told.
I was just going to say, I hate to be like the PC police, but I don't like using the Karen word, because there's like a lot of Karens that I know and appreciate in real life, and it's kind of unfair to them. But yeah, I definitely get that stereotype, and I hate when people are disrespectful to customer service, or they're just like, are not satisfied with anything. Or I saw a TikTok today where this
manager.
Yeah, this woman was trying to get into a store and was like, you're discriminating against me because I'm not wearing a mask. And it's like, no, lady, you need to leave if you don't have a mask. That's our policy.
Clearly, you don't know what discrimination is.
Yeah, exactly.
Might want to go home and read up on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I've read hundreds of pages of Civil War history and what Southerners who hated Black people did to them, and also to the white Republicans who were defending Black people at the time. It was just disgusting.
Yeah, that's discrimination, not wearing that pizza cloth over your face.
I think back to World War II or Vietnam, where we literally forced people to go to war and die for this country. And then you have people today who are like, you're forcing me to wear a mask. I mean, like, imagine, like,
I remember seeing a meme about that, and it shows like an old man, I guess he was a World War II vet, and he said, back in my day, we got drafted and we had to ensure we defeated the enemy, storm the beaches, drown out the Germans, and make sure that our country and our people are safe and win this war. And then it says, your generation, all you have to do is wear a mask. Don't fuck this up.
I know, right?
But again, it just comes back. I think it's more psychological than anything for people.
I mean, your psychology is developed in a bunch of different ways. We talked a bit about family already. The next biggest thing that usually affects people is their education, like their school, how they grew up and what kind of school they were in, what environment they were in. Were they in New York? Were they in Southern Alabama? Were they in Colorado? So, like, maybe you want to explain your schooling history just very briefly, and how you think that impacted your views on science, mask wearing.
I mean, my school history is most of the time was public school. It's hard to say. I don't think that necessarily impacted what I think about the mask policy. And
did your science classes primarily teach you about evolution, or were they sympathetic to like creationism ideology and things like that?
No, they taught us about evolution. I mean, if anyone brought up creationism, which they didn't, but I guarantee you, if they did, my high school would have definitely just said, like, get that shit out of here.
Yeah, like, it's not acceptable to be writing that as an answer to a question about biology. Right.
And you know what? I don't think anyone had any personal issue with someone's, you know, religious beliefs or scientific beliefs. It was just, you're there to learn what science can tell us, like, as a fact.
So just kind of wrapping up the mask topic, Do you think your friends or society and culture or anything else kind of contributed to how you see this this issue? Like, what kind of news sources do you look at and things like that?
Just literally looking at statistics of how many people are dying from it, and that's more than enough to show that this is to be taken seriously. And then just I remember watching an interview of a mother. Her son got coronavirus and he got really bad. Luckily he didn't pass away. Yeah, it's not to be trifled with. It's not to be taken as a joke. It's not a hoax. It's not a myth. It's not a conspiracy theory. These things happen. I mean, plagues have been around for way before even mankind. It's been around since dinosaurs, for sure.
I think this is a good wrap up of like masking and coronavirus for now. And I know you're interested in like policing issues around the country, and there's been a lot of heated debate over how to treat the way that police interact with the public, especially in 2020.
We'll discuss this issue further after a quick message break.
So what were you thinking about discussing with that?
I think we're definitely seeing more and more like of police brutality being publicized. And when I say police brutality, it's definitely situations where the force that was used was not required based on video evidence and things that the public can see. And based on, I guess, witness descriptions and the victim's description, if they survived. I don't know if it's just the police are starting to crack because of what's been going on. And they're under so much stress from the, you know, the riots and Black Lives Matter, which Black Lives Matter is something I personally do support. So, and then on both sides of the situation, each side of this problem has a few bad apples. So, you know, there's a few Black Lives Matter protests that can turn into a riot. And then with the police, there's a few really bad cops out there out of, you know, however many are in the district or the precinct, whatever you want to say. But the difference is where there is one bad cop, like let's say there's four bad cops in a precinct and there's 200 cops in the precinct total. But the 200 cops that do not say or do anything about those four bad cops, now you have 204 bad cops. It's kind of like the bullying thing where you see it happening, but if you don't do anything about it, you're just as bad as the bully. So that's what I personally think of the situation. And I mean, you see these ridiculous things that these police are doing. And I just definitely think there needs to be a much more in-depth and much more nitty-gritty kind of psychological evaluation in terms of when you're hiring police officers. Or I just think that anytime a police officer uses brutal force or lethal force in a situation that doesn't require it, I think they should just be fired on the spot. Maybe not at the spot of the crime, but once, you know, once it gets public ears and once, you know, the precinct itself picks up on it, it's unacceptable.
So I know you say that like a few bad apples spoils the bunch. But I know when I was in high school, at least, like there were about 250 people in 11th grade or whatever. And is it my responsibility if two kids decide to go outside and start fighting?
No, it's not your responsibility. But if you're a witness to it, if someone else brings it up to an authoritative figure that can resolve the issue and you're a witness, you should probably go down and share your perspective of the situation to help it get resolved.
So I think in this analogy, it would be my responsibility to go to a teacher or principal and tell them, and then it's the teacher or principal's responsibility to stop it, right?
Right. It becomes their responsibility, but then also you can be an eyewitness so that it can definitely be confirmed.
And then the other thing I would say is like, maybe it's not that police are getting worse when it comes to making mistakes or doing bad things to people. It's just that there's more cameras to catch it. What do you think about that?
I think there's always just been not a set number, but every department, every precinct has like, you know, their bad eggs. But now that social media and cameras are going to be a cop's worst enemy because now they're actually catching the bad ones and they're being exposed. And I just think it's something that's never really been captured prior to, you know, the mid-2000s. And when smartphones came out, it gradually kept like showing up more and more brutal, you know, police brutality. But especially since the George Floyd case, it's been booming just because I feel like this whole thing was just a kettle getting ready to boil over. And now it has. And it's just the people aren't going to take it anymore. You know, we have our say. It's a right for us to say what's right and wrong. You have a cop shooting a kid or shooting a dog that weighs like a dog that weighs like 8 pounds, like a chihuahua, saying, "I was in fear for my life." And it's just like, what? Like, I don't understand that. Or you have a cop that arrested a kid. I forget what she did. I think she was like being accused of like theft of something from another student. And a cop full on tackles this little girl to the ground. I'm thinking to myself, and this is somehow okay? I mean, was that cop in fear for his life kind of thing? You know, I just think it's ridiculous. And I think there's a certain point where, you know, now that the pot has boiled over, that we need to address that these things need to stop. And the best way to stop it, it's kind of like the rotten branch on a tree. You got to cut off that branch, and that branch being the bad cops. And I hate the fact the cops that do report the bad behavior of other officers are the ones that get fired. Yeah. I don't understand that. Like, is there some secret pact that we don't know about that the police officers make? I mean, is like this some sort of like South Park reference kind of thing? Like, there's like some secret cult in the police department. I mean, really?
I don't know. Like, what I think about is that policing is a public service. It's a service that's provided to the public. And I mean, most public services, there's a lot of transparency and a lot of accountability. And so
I mean, it's just like, well, I don't mean to cut you off, but if it's a public service, I think also the public itself should have a say in how a situation should be handled or how to handle a cop that went overboard. Like, I think the public itself, and not just the court or not just the police department itself, can determine that. And I think, like, also, if it comes down to that kind of situation where you do go to a courtroom over police brutality, I don't think a police officer deserves or has any kind of reason to be treated any more special than anybody else in a courtroom. I don't think they deserve that kind of, not immunity, but, you know, they don't deserve to be put up on a pedestal. Because people say, oh, police have a dangerous job. Every day they go out, they're in danger. And I think to myself, there's a lot of jobs like that out there. There are people who are loading docks in New York City, and there's a lot of things that could happen that could, someone could get hurt or killed. On a construction site, when you're dealing with chemicals in a laboratory.
When it comes to the criminal justice system prosecuting police officers, you think it should be even, or at least more even than it is now, between regular citizens and police officers?
I think it should just be flat out even across the board. I mean, I think it's a judge's job to also be not biased in making a decision. But when it comes to a case involving a police officer, unfortunately, I've seen way too many videos where the judge is in favor of the police officer. How did you get elected as a judge if you're going to be biased just because of that? Which I think that's really what's going on.
Yeah, I'll just say real quick, I don't think all judges are elected. There's some that are selected by governors and stuff, and some are appointed by the president, and some are elected, like you said. But I was just going to ask a couple more questions before we get going. I'm not going to run through the whole family, schooling, friends, society, culture thing when it comes to how you came to these views, but what do you think you're going to do in the future when it comes to either masking or policing? Are you going to vote? Are you going to advocate? Are you going to talk to friends and family? Or, you know, is this stuff a waste of time? Do you think you just, other people need to be pushing back? Where do you see yourself moving forward?
I would see myself with a combination of a few of them, where I'd be I would definitely be spreading a word through social media, since that's probably one of the most effective ways to spread any kind of, you know, word of mouth these days. I would definitely tell friends and family about my opinion and why I have the opinion, and try to help people see from my point of view, and definitely vote for people in terms of the government, local or across the nation. Just vote for someone that will probably make stricter policies on the masks, the situation with the masks, and also someone that's going to crack down on police departments and precincts about punishing or firing the police officers that are the few bad apples, instead of just letting it continue.
Okay, that sounds great that you're willing to stand up and do something about what you believe. So thanks for coming on the podcast. What do you have, any plans for dinner or anything? You know, I'm not even having dinner yet. I might just scrounge together some ramen or something. What are you up to?
I like ramen.
yeah.
What is it? What I'm up to? Usually I like to listen to podcasts, or I like to listen to some more things going on in the news. But right now I've just been rewatching part two of the presidential debate. I know it's, you know, old news at this point, but at the same time, it's just way too hilarious to pass up. And It's kind of like watching a funny movie, like, you know, a few weeks ago, and then you just have to watch it again because there's some things you either missed or...
Oh, man. I love going on YouTube and looking at, like, the mashups or, like, the way that people alter the thing. I found one yesterday. Yeah. They replaced Biden and Trump's faces with baby faces. So it's like two babies debating each other.
But I know you don't listen to Epic Rap Battles of History at all, but I still think one of the best ones, or the best one they did, was Joe Biden versus Donald Trump. I mean, if you get a chance, or if anyone else gets a chance, watch that. It's pretty funny. but plans for the rest of my night, it's... oh, by the way, I don't know if I told you. I know this is a little old as well, but for Halloween, they had a costume for Mike Pence. And it was just a white wig and a suit. And then there's a little fly on the wig.
That's great. So
I thought that was pretty funny. But anyways, my night is going to probably consist of my finishing the rest of my fast food, you know, Checkers. Mm-hmm. And probably have a beer and play Fallout and listen to more podcasts. So, especially more of Honest Politics. I have to listen to more of yours. I just got finished with part 4 of the new Declaration. Or not Declaration. The
Constitution, yeah.
Yes, part 4 of the new Constitution, that's right.
Yeah, that was a really fun project. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you next time. My name is Alex Gamsik. This has been Honest Politics, and join me next time as we seek to discover more of the stories behind the statistics. So, like the masking issue, I'm going to ask a couple of devil's advocate questions, if that's okay.
No, it's not okay. I'm just kidding.